listening to Pillow Talk Radio and Podcast.
To episode 2. I have a bit more of an organized show tonight. And so I'd like to start off by saying happy Friday. It's 6 minutes past 9:36 on Friday night. Friday the 20th of July, 2018. And I last spoke to you on Friday the 13th, 1 week ago. And I had mentioned that I had taken some acid. Well, I was under the impression by the friend that gave it to me that it was a little less potent. I mean, not completely dead, but a little less potent because it hadn't been properly stored for a few months. But I've had the same type of acid from her before. Sound like I do it all the time, but I don't. And it was good. It was potent from what I remember. I would have like two at a time over a couple hours, and I would get visualizations and phenomena like that. Well, this was a bit more potent, and I ended up taking 4 hits. So I took 4 blotters of acid. And I would take tab after tab. Well, I mean, when I started the podcast, I had taken 1. And then midway through, I believe, I had taken another 1. And then I was like, okay, well, 45 minutes has gone by. Let me take another 1. So I kept doing that until I took 4 tabs. And it just got progressively more intense until like I was tossing and turning in bed, like my whole body would tense up, and it was like 4:30 in the morning, and I was trying to sleep, but it felt like I was coming in and out of existence in a tumble dryer. So it felt like I was part of the clutter that I was, like the blankets and pillows and shit, and like the iPhone cord. I felt like I was this installation piece that was going in and out of reality. So that was a trip. The walk to 7-Eleven was insane because I kept laughing. I had to hold it together the best that I could, but nothing was really funny. I remember that. I was just like, dude, nothing's funny right now, but why am I laughing hysterically to myself? It's just fucking weird. And of course, just like with most other psychedelics, you see the protrusions in the ground, you know, like just plants everywhere that just looks like it's from another planet, but, you know, we're on Earth. So anyway, that was cool. There was like auto, like, you know, I was texting and there was like auto text between auto text and just like words and emojis coming. It was fucking, it was weird. Anyway, so I fried balls. Had to recoup next day. I was fine by Monday. Fine by Sunday, actually. No big deal. Anyway, so it's the next Friday, and I'm here, and I have not an Old English, but I have some Seagram's VO whiskey, Canadian whiskey. Good stuff. So, anyway, I wanted to bring this up last time, but I didn't want to give it away because it's kind of funny. So I found this Reddit post a long time ago. And the title is, "My New Boyfriend Cannot Receive a Blowjob Like a Normal Human Being." So with a title like that, you really have to just dive into it. So let's see what this girl has to say about her boyfriend. She says, "Before I begin, I know this is going to sound like a joke, but please trust that it is real. You can be as skeptical as you want, but I'm the one who has to live out this nightmare. I, a 24-year-old female, have been dating this new guy, a 26-year-old male, for the past 3 months, and it's going swimmingly. He's charming, funny, not a slob. That's important. We click, yada, yada, yada. The sex is also passionate and usually really good. His head game is on point, and I reciprocate often. When giving him a blowjob, he is vocal, which can't be said for many guys. There's only one issue. He has a very meme-y sense of humor, which I generally enjoy. When I'm going down on him, he'll squirm and moan, but will only say variants of, and this is in block text, give me the suck, and that's suck spelled with two C's. In the past 3 months, she continues, I have kept mental note of all these variant interjections. They include, but are not limited to, and these are all spelled with double C's, by the way. She suck me. She suck me through my boxers. She suck me with no clothes on. Suck, baby, suck. I get the suck. All aboard the suck train. How to get the suck. Suck me, what? Suck me. I am like the Zuck, but I get more suck. 60 minutes of suck. Sucky, sucky, long time. Fat suck. She want to fuck, but first she suck. Damn, she fine when she suck. Deep suck. She suck me to Mars. She suck me to Antarctica. She suck me underground. Give me dat first class suck. She got a master's in suck. She got a PhD in suck. Suck as a second language. Sa. Suck me like a hungry baby. Suck me into an existential crisis. Gimme dat suck out of jail free card. Suck at 100. The first rule of suck club is give me the suck. She goes on, I swear this is all he will say. If you don't believe me, I failed nearly every creative writing class in high school, so there is no way I could have come up with all that shit. At first, I thought it was the funniest thing on the planet. It's still funny, but it's hard to do my job when I can't stop cracking up. It's getting to the point where I can't really give him oral anymore because I start cackling even before we begin. I kind of want him to stop because it's getting old, but then he will pull out some new outlandish phrase and grin devilishly as I struggle to pleasure him without choking on my own laughter. It's interfering with our foreplay at this point. We've spoken about it outside of the bedroom, and he doesn't seem to take it seriously because I can't confront him about it without breaking down into bouts of laughter. And I kind of don't know if I want it to stop because it's so goddamn ridiculous. Please help me figure out if this is becoming a problem or if I've entered some sort of suck twilight zone that bestows immortality. So that was deeply satisfying to read because you could probably imagine yourself in that type of situation because it's supposed to be very serious, heavy, very sweaty. A very sultry time, and then all of a sudden you get a double dose of meme humor, triple, quadruple, quintuple, sextuple dose of meme humor while you're going down on him. With me, I tend to be kind of verbal in sex, maybe a tiny bit more than the average. Sometimes it annoys me when people aren't as verbal, but of course I understand wanting to be in the moment. But this shit is just hilarious. Like, I mean, sure, it would get old for me pretty quick, but like, if I was the one doing it, I'm sure I'd probably laugh. If I was the one saying all that shit. Because at that point, I think that dude is just trying to like, I think he cares more about fucking with his girlfriend than he does actually receiving the blowjob. I think it's like a challenge for him to just flog this girl's efforts, which I think is fucking hilarious in itself now that I think about it. So that's that. It would be cool if I actually had callers to where all zero of you guys could probably call in and give me some interesting stories about that kind of stuff. Because, you know, there's awkward sex stories and there's really pleasing sex stories. I won't get into the mushy shit right now. But stuff like that's just fucking hilarious. So I wanted to share that. What I want to talk about next on this edition is an introduction to degeneracy and why it's good. So if you know me personally, you would probably know that I use the word degenerate a lot. It's something that my friend Zaba, I don't know if he's listening, he probably wouldn't listen, but one time he came over to my house and he spent like 3 or 4 days and we just kicked it. And at that point I had been like ruminating over this word and it was a degenerate. And he came over and we were watching Beavis and Butthead episodes on Netflix. And Beavis was doing something really fucked up. And Zaba was just, he giggled to himself and he was like, fucking degenerate. And I was like, wait, stop. What did you say? Like, did you say degenerate? Because I've been using that word a lot in the past month or two. He's like, yeah. And then ever since then, I had gone on and tried to create a short movie or short film based on that word alone. And it's become part of my everyday lexicon. And at the time, the short film that I was writing is something that I was also going to act in. And to be one with the character, I needed to embrace aspects of that that person and kind of be within the archetype, right? So I took on this role of degeneracy that never quite left, to be honest. And it's kind of fucked up my life in some ways. I mean, I'm largely a normal human being, but it's affected me profoundly in other ways. But I've also learned a lot about the importance of why one needs to be a degenerate. So if we break the word down into its essence, it's degenerate. It's to degenerate, okay? The prefix is de, which means, you know, like to deconstruct, to un, to subtract, or to take away, I suppose, and generate. So while something generates, it can degenerate. Once I was backpacking with this, I was hiking with this guy that I just randomly met in Iceland. And one thing stuck out to me, of many that he told me at that time, when we were hiking, I was telling him, like, dude, I feel so fresh. It feels like I've sweated everything out. It feels like I'm eating completely clean and I'm exercising constantly. Because he even tried to convince me to go on like a 24-hour night, like hiking up through the night and to the day, which I thought at that point was insane. But I was like sweating all that shit out. And I was like, dude, I feel so fucking clean, you know, after, like, you know, I was thinking about getting beers after, you know, when I get back. And he's like, dude, detox, retox. And therein lies the importance of what degeneracy should be, I think, to some people. Because degeneracy can be a really heavy word, because there are a lot of politicians that are complete degenerates in ways that are completely unspeakable, and I won't go into right now because I want to keep it at least a little light. But a degenerate can be someone that's morally filthy, morally bankrupt, but it could also mean someone that chooses to engage in some sort of hedonism at its thresholds as it peaks without sustaining it. I guess that would be called a healthy degenerate, right? And unfortunately, some people can't do that with certain things. Sometimes some people have a difficulty with not stopping drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling, any vices, right? Food. But if you're able to indulge and go and reach towards that peak every now and then, I think that it can be it can push you towards certain experience, life experiences. And I'm not telling you, this is something I wanted to preface earlier about the acid. Taking four tabs of acid did not take me to Nirvana. And I really don't understand why people think that you can become enlightened by taking this shit. I mean, it may loosen you up to different modes of thinking, but I was the same fucking piece of shit the next day as I was before. Right? So I want to say that don't ever, and you're taking some guy's advice. I mean, you're listening to some guy's advice, right? Don't ever think that you can solve anything by escaping. It's just a good fucking time. And one of the keys to degeneracy is to work through that. If you're hungover, fight the hangover. Better yet, cure the hangover before you even get that. Make sure you are completely hydrated. Take chlorophyll. Be proactive with your body. And sure, I guess you could argue that, well, wouldn't my body be a healthier instrument without degeneracy to begin with? Absolutely. Absolutely. But if you're like me who has to keep myself occupied at all times, sometimes you need an exhaust. And for me, that's a few drinks, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the rest of the week for me particularly is basically mostly plant-based. For you, you may not care. You may not give a rat's ass, and that's fucking awesome. I love it. Do what you want to do. Just realize that degeneracy in small, healthy doses, backed by planning and self-care, is, I think, the key to life. I think hedonism, but not as a complete identity, but an aspect or as a tool for enjoyment, you know, embracing small peaks of overindulgence, small peaks of occasional overindulgence is good. So that's what I wanted to bring up on that. And I will speak way more about degeneracy in future podcasts, in future episodes. But I just want to give you that as a, what is it, primer? A preface, I guess. I don't know what the fuck. I don't know these words. So those are your degenerate rules to live by this week. And on that note, scumbags. So we have degenerates, and we have what I deem as degenerate as I take this sip of whiskey. So, a scumbag. Obviously, a scumbag doesn't really have a good connotation to it. I feel like the definition of words and semantics obviously is very plastic. Things evolve over time. Words are just the same. Culture, one of the core attributes of culture is that it's dynamic and it changes over time. Language, linguistics being part of that, so of course. And I suppose it varies to different person, by different person. Even the way one speaks, hence like an idiolect. But a scumbag is generally a bad person. It's a piece of shit, right? So why do people like them? Why do the opposite sex like the scumbags of the other sex, if they're straight? Well, my outlook on that contains a few different theories. One, I believe that people want to be hurt, for one. That's one of my hypotheses. I think people want to be hurt because they may not have faith that life will bring them good things. Have you ever dated someone that at first, one, they kind of fought for you, you didn't really see them as your type, but then all of a sudden you become obsessed. Well, that may have been the result of manipulation and love bombing. I'm going to save that for a different episode. But these people, more times than not, tend to be scumbags, unless it's like a one in a million romance. Another one of my hypotheses on why people like scumbags relates to my first premise, and that's because we want to be hurt because our culture now does not facilitate a stable home. So we seek out the dissonance that we probably were exposed to at an early age. And lastly, I think it's because scumbags are very uninhibited, and sometimes their brashness could be mistaken for confidence. And that could be just desperation to come across a certain way. That could be narcissism. And at this point, I'm going to disclose that in my experience, having become, quite frankly, a scumbag, I mean, not to a very, very dark place, but and this itself is going to get pretty dark pretty quick, but I have never gotten laid more easily and more often or been more attractive to females in any other time in my life than the past. We're progressing from the past few years, and the reason why is because I've sided with darkness to some degree. That sounds very heavy. And it wasn't necessarily because I wanted these things. It's because I was exposed to a lot of pain, a lot of turmoil, and this is all relating to dating. My life in other ways has gotten profoundly better throughout the past few years. But dating in the 2010s is progressively difficult. And it's really disheartening to see that the people that like me tend to be somewhat sincere, and I could kind of almost guess their background. If they approach me, it's either, let me guess, your dad passed away at 10, didn't he? Your dad's in jail. Your dad physically abused you. And this happens consecutively, and it's hard not to be left jaded by it, because they look at me and they see they intuitively know that I'm the emotionally unavailable person they are afraid of getting too close to, but they're just not conscious of it. And it's going to take me a lot of healing to get through that, to find a balance of being blasé and of being caring as an individual, not having a built-in, almost apparently inborn sense of artifice. But this is what, I mean, I'm conscious of this, and I've been trying to work through it in many ways for the past couple of years, but it's just very hard. obviously I had mentioned the perks of this, but it's not something that I'm proud of. I'm just letting you know because this ties into degeneracy in some way, but it's a bit too far on the dark end of it. And why it relates to people who have issues of their own and how it seems to form a puzzle piece. A perfect fit for emotional turmoil. But anyway, I want to lighten the mood up a bit. So, up next, we have Capsule Clone. And I'll get to an explanation of why I named it that after. Enjoy. So I hope you enjoyed that. That was Capsule Clone by me. And that, speaking of degeneracy, was inspired. And if you take a look at the artwork that I also did on my SoundCloud, that's soundcloud.com/Paul Edward Espinoza. Track is called Capsule Clone. The artwork that I did was actually 2 years prior to and I wanted to make like capsules floating in space or some shit, you know, like this like vacuum of reality. So I used, I believe it was Maya or Cinema 4D to render that into 3D. And I used dueling or competing synths in that track because I thought, okay, well, it's capsule clone, you know, it's like it's cloning whatever chemical compound that is in this capsule. And of course, I mean, the capsule is MDMA. It's like, it's Molly. Like that's, if you know me, I love, one of my favorite drugs is ecstasy. And I don't take it much anymore because the busier I get, the more it takes a dent out of my week and hence like productivity or my ability to like have a good attitude when it gets busy. But I still do enjoy it. I have a couple tabs saved up, a couple pressed pills. One is a blue Tesla shield, which is fucking my favorite. My fucking favorite. If you know where to get some, let me know because that shit's fucking fire. I'll take an orange shield too. And another one is, oh, what was it? A red jacket. Yeah, red jack. But anyway, I digress. So, when I used to deliver pizzas, like the guys in the back would call me Paul Ecstasy E. Because, you know, I'm Paul E. And so I thought that track would be in homage to one of my favorite substances. And there is an MC being sampled. I didn't sample him, but I just found it. I found an acapella from an old school track and thought it went well and I thought it worked well. So, yeah, I hope you enjoyed. And at this point, the things to look forward to regarding what I create, not necessarily that you care, but it's just something I thought I would say to promote myself, is I want to start making shirts and eventually a website, but websites are a bit difficult for me because that's like the unexplored medium. So I'll have to figure something out about that. But I do want to make shirts because eventually, and I'm not trying to hawk this at my friends, if you are a close friend or whatever that's listening, I'm not trying to hawk this at you, but eventually if I end up getting people that like my music, I want to be able to sell a t-shirt. And, you know, because the only way you can really make money is by, correct me if I'm wrong, but by touring and merch. And I'm not going to be selling any fucking albums because who's going to fucking buy that shit in 2018? So that's going to be up next. I'm going to develop some business cards for my creative direction, production, and so on and so forth to get my name out with people that I meet day to day. And t-shirts or t-shirt ideas further down the line, just having them up. So that being said, I hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. Rant complete.